Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it, between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics, because that's who we are.
What's good, y'all? This is Breeze Brewing from the Mighty Juggernauts. And make sure you subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel, hip-hop journalism on the highest level.
Yeah, what's up? It's your boy, Joel Ortiz, and I want everybody to make sure that they subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Yo, Tim, I hope all is well. You my guy. I know these interviews are not interviews. They're actually conversations, and I appreciate them all. Yalla.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ice-T. I want you to do something for me. Make sure you download and subscribe Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It is official. All right? Stop playing. Download and subscribe. Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It's cold.
With the high grits on my chest in the morning. When I was sick, Mary had the hot soup. All it didn't know why, but it felt so
the impact my next guests have had, not just on Southern hip-hop, but on hip-hop, cannot be overstated. Ask T.I., ask Outkast, ask Killer Mike, ask anybody. They'll tell you that the music force of this group. T-Mo, Cujo, Big Gip, CeeLo, our Goody Mob, welcome to the Library of Tim Einenkel and allhiphop.com. Thank you so much for being here, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So this is We're talking to you today about your new album, Survival Kit. It's the first album you guys done in 7 years. For you, what's the kind of purpose and the mission of this album?
Man, really to provide the game with a ray of hope, man. You know, to balance out what's going on around us right now, man. Seems like the music business and the music industry was headed in one direction, and everybody's, you know, after the commercial success and the bag of money and the girls and the cars, which is wonderful. Give it to me too, I take it. But at the same time, it's like Goody Mob's purpose was different from the jump, man. God used us for something outside of just making, you know, music for the girls or music for just rocking the clubs and, you know, making people dance and shake. We had something to say that, you know, Andre 3000, you know, I mean, straight pegged it at the Source Awards. The South got something to say. He told them back then, they gave us a new ray of hope, a new ray of purpose. That took us to a point where we knew, you know, a direction that we wanted to go in as a group. You know, when Goody Mob went into Curtis Mayfield studio, you know, we started off with songs like Blood and Hold On, you know, and that was so meaningful to the rap game that they still ended up coming out. You know, we couldn't even hold them. You know, they were really, really classic records that I think, you know, to me, was some of Goody Mob's greatest moments, I mean, because it was done from an innocent state. But now, right now, with the new Goody Mob album, you got to think, we know what fans want. When in 1995, we didn't know what the fans wanted. We gave the fans what we thought they wanted, what we thought they needed. But right now, we know what the fans want from us. They want to hear us say something during this time. You know, they always would say that Goody Mob was before their time. Now I feel like we caught up with that statement. Now we're right on time. Go ahead.
You mentioned Andre 3000. You mentioned, you know, Outkast. And of course, you know, they're on this album. And you guys worked with them so much on so many different things. What is it about these Andre 3000 and Big Boy that kind of help you guys elevate your artistic game that maybe a lot of artists just can't do?
I think it's the bar that we set when we first hit the world. It's the bar that we set. You know, the first time you heard all of us together was Southern Playaristic Cadillac Music. So that was like the holy grail for us as the Dungeon Family. So with that being said, once we knew that Organized Noise was going to do this complete, this entire album, we said we can't do nothing but call the two Cavs. You got the four Goody Mars, the two Outcasts, and the three Organized Noise. That's the first line of Southern
hip hop. You know, Big Boy is the second track on the album. He's on the second track of the album, and essentially the one of the table setters for the album. And you also have Andre 3000 on the track, and he's also on a different track. Was there a conversation about having these two on the same track together, and why Big Boy is this kind of part of the table setting of the album?
Big Boy is always really here, and you know, like Joe said, before the pandemic started, we had just come off a Dungeon Family tour. So all of us had just come off tour, Big Boy, Organized Noise, Goody Mob. We had just traveled the world. So we was getting ready to go into the Goody Mob leg of the tour. And that's when the pandemic hit. So, of course, all of us were still around each other at Stankonia. He's been around with us. So when we started putting tracks to a side to say, yo, what should we invite the family on? Big Boy instantly picked Pray for the Sheep. He instantly picked that record, and he was like, yo, give me this record. And he worked on his record for at least a week or two. You know, he took that record and went into his hole. We hit Dre with about three or four records, and then he picked his record, and then we all woke up. We woke up in the morning, and Reek had his verse on the Dungeon Family thread. So that's when we knew. We was like, yo, we finally put the special sauce bag together, man. So you know, the people about to get it tonight at 12 o'clock, man, they getting the new album, Survival Kit, Goody Mob, Outkast, Dungeon Family. We back together again.
That's up. I want to take a step back a little bit. And Timo, you mentioned you know, early 1995 and kind of where you guys were at and stuff like that. I want you guys to kind of take me back to 95. You know, New York had this certain arrogance about it, right? LA was kind of taken over, but then Outkast hit, you guys dropped, and the South put their foot down and said, this is us. But then it's also what it seems like when you read about interviews about you guys then, is that there was this immense amount of pressure to kind of represent the South. Did you guys feel that pressure at the time? And what was happening in the South that the rest of the world, the rest of the United States did not know what was about to happen?
We needed a voice. We didn't have a voice at that time. You know what I mean? Wasn't nobody coming out of Atlanta who had a voice at that time. We had to let these folks know that we coming hard right now. It's an East Coast, West Coast beef between Biggie and Tupac. And man, y'all don't even see this plethora. You know what I mean? Right before you. You know what I mean? It was inevitable that the South was going to take over this thing, because you know what? People took us for granted, and we learned so much from the East Coast. We learned so much from the West Coast, and we were able to implement it in our own gumbo. You know what I mean? In our own gumbo. And like we were just talking about, everybody's gumbo going to be different. I can give you the same ingredients and the same the same recipe to get to my gumbo, and I guarantee it's going to taste different from mine. And that's just the way life is, you know?
You guys are known for, and not afraid of it, is that you're known for also conscious hip hop. Like you know, you make conscious rap, and it's fun. And CeeLo's here. He's joined us. Thanks, CeeLo. Thanks for being here, man. Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes. Can you hear us?
Yo. Yes.
What was that?
My bad.
Why was that? No, it's okay. I mean, we talked a little about the album. Now we're kind of taking a little step back to 95.
You come over?
When the first single off the album, Soul Food, of, you know, your first album, it was an incredible singer, because I think T.I. describes it as like a hit record that's not meant to be a hit record, but it is a hit record. How did you guys approach this track, and did you realize it was going to be this hit record that it came out to be?
Well, man, like like they explained it on the Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music. They were saying, Hoodie Mob, CeeLo, Outkast, and Southern Playlist.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? So at that moment then, we were still in separate entities where we was, you know what I'm saying, just really getting our feet wet with the hip-hop culture. But coming back to Soul Food, man, just really wanting to be able to have a name for ourselves in Atlanta, Georgia, because it was other MCs that was out, but they didn't have a chance to come out on a major record label like we did with the Face Records.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a song like Cell Therapy, that wasn't a song that you was going to go up to the DJ in the club and say, hey, man, put that Cell Therapy on for me, man. it wasn't that type of song, but, you know what I'm saying, L.A. Reid trusted their Organized Noise, and Organized Noise trusted in us, and they felt like, well, shit, this is the song that you guys should be y'all first single off of y'all album, and that set the bar high for any Southern or any Atlanta, Georgia rapper coming out. That, you know what I'm saying, you got to sacrifice something first and then come on back in and hit them with songs like Soul Food that I'm sure everybody could relate to in the whole world, man, as far as if you got that hunger, you know what I'm saying, you want to have some food to eat. And Soul Food just happened to be the dish down in the South, so you know you're going to get a heap of helping of everything.
I mean, you mentioned how that track, you know, set the bar high, but not just for other artists, but also set the bar high for you guys. I mean, that track hit number one. Were you worried about that whole, you know, you always read about it, the gift and the curse of a hit record. Were you at all ever worried about that gift or that curse?
Man, we were working so hard, man. We didn't even think about it, man, because on our first tour, because I know it's my first time really leaving in Georgia on our first tour. So, I mean, just really being out of town and being able to represent and not being home, having to worry about a curfew and all that type of stuff, that's what, I mean, like being at Resident Camp, I didn't realize that we had a number one record. But you're right, it did set the bar high, because now people, when your next single come out, people want to hear you say something.
Mm. Was that the moment for you guys where you knew Southern hip hop was kind of put on the map? Was there a moment that maybe us Northerners didn't see happen that kind of said, all right, we're on the map now and y'all can't fuck with us anymore?
Shit. That was like after you got to look. I mean, people who felt like they was even in the classroom with us, we start by 98, 99, 2000, man, it wasn't even nobody playing from our ballpark how we were playing. Mm. We were still releasing records as a family, you know. Every record we released went gold, platinum. Every record Outkast went platinum. So, you know, if you think about it, for the ones that was in that room with us that night, it's not too many of those that were still making records when we were still putting out records every year. So, we knew we had put the nail in the coffin by 2000, by 98, 99, by Stankonia, and by that time, man, it was like it was over with. It wasn't no war.
I mean, I mentioned in the intro how the impact of you guys have had on the music industry and music in general. And I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert on trap music, but I want to ask you about trap music. Can you define what trap music is? And can you talk about what are the origins of trap music and which is the group that kind of, or the person that kind of just put that in our lexicon and put that, you know, across the map?
Oh, man. Go ahead, Law. What you got?
I was going to say, this is not to insult the art form, but I believe that trap music can be broken down into situational music, soundbite music. I believe that they, let's give credit what it's due. You know, like, we had definitely mentioned the phrase trap, you know what I mean, like prior to T.I.'s trap music, but he's the one that kind of personified it, you know what I mean, and, you know, personalized it and personified it, and made it a you know, a campaign, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, and I believe that he felt like he was speaking for a class of people. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you know what I mean? Peers and otherwise. You know what I mean? Like that was dealing with a circumstance, like exclusively or specifically. So I feel like it's the conversation, it's the commonwealth between that class of people, but it's just caught on. I mean, like, you know, in corporate America, in terms of, you know, industry at large, you saw it as something viable, a commodity, a new genre, a subculture. You know what I mean? Like, it was springboarded from there. You know what I mean? And you know, we got to say, well, we say we like trap music, but we don't trap music. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you got a difference between, like, you know, brick masonry and Freemasonry. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like it's different. It's different degrees of the same kind of kind of thing. So, I mean, you know, like we came from the street, but we were always like the Hebrew Israelites on the street. You know what I mean? Like, you know, or Killer Mike described what Goody Mob did was said, like, you know, he said our intelligence or our information wasn't collegiate, but he felt like, you know, our knowledge was reformed. It sounded like we had all did time or something like that. You know, in the way people find refinement, you know, in the most ironic, you know, of situations, like, you know, in jail and so on and so forth. So cell therapy and you know, things like that came from that. But just to try to paraphrase and be concise with the answer to the question, you know, I think it's the lingo. I think it's the communication between that class of people. Like, and the class of people can be considered or as broad and vast as a generation of people. You know what I mean? And they just but you know, hip hop at an entry point is always so close to the street and so close to the dirt, to the mud, to the curb. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can't help but get your shoes dirty. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, you know, a little bit. You gonna step in some of it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that I think it's dope. I think you know, it lends itself to, you know, just the love language between, you know, and love in a hopeless place. You know what I'm saying? Like, they find melody, harmony, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, style, swag, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and you end up getting substance from substance abuse. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's definitely a drug culture that, like, as far as usage and distribution. So, like, you know, it goes hand in hand, and you know, shit. You know, people can relate to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's the starting point for all of us, really. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I think we were fortunate enough to be able to finesse our way around it. You know what I mean? Like, but if left to our own devices, we probably would end up making trap music too. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? So we would never talk down on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because let me say this too. It's a commodity. Now, I learned this term watching The Wolf of Wall Street. I learned about penny stocks and junk bonds. And this is not to insult it. I mean, like, you know, because trap music is an institution. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At this point. But mm-hmm. it's not only an institution, it's a museum in Atlanta. So yeah. It's culture and it's history. But the junk bonds and the penny stocks is what the homeboy end up getting rich off of. And basically, rap music is a junk bond because it costs little to produce it, and the profits are hand over fist. Like, you could quadruple your profit from a penny stock. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a junk bond. So it's like, you know, we are the disposables. You know what I'm saying? The undesirables. You know, we're left to fend for ourselves, man. Like, you know, man, like, ain't no church in the wild. So, like, I mean, like, we got to find salvation. You know what I mean? Like, you know, on our own terms, and survival on our own terms. And so I'm fortunate that a lot of these boys who could spit the game so good that they was able to make that applicable to art form. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because, you know, criminals and hustlers, you know, they, you know, a lot of the times criminals and hustlers, the reason why they have that air of swagger and kind of like they come across like they neighborhood stars and shit like that. You know, a lot of them are artists without the outlet. Mm-hmm. without the formal outlet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so creative minds can also be artistic minds. It's just about when you make it applicable. My bad, man. I know I said a lot, but you know, I hope you got some of that out of that.
No, that was great. I want to, and this is to Cito's point, not downgrading at all trap music, but I want to ask you guys were censored from MTV, right? And I've always had this theory or thought that there's a lot of, sometimes music gets censored because it speaks empowerment, it speaks consciousness and stuff like that. Do you think that has been the case, and do you think it continues to be the case?
Yeah.
That lets you know that just when you think you have freedom of speech, it is no freedom of speech. You feel me? Just when you thought that, we look at it now, like big tech right now. If you say something that don't fit that their agenda, don't fit what you signed up for, they can block you or they can shut down your account. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was little stuff that we used to say that they blacked out on, like MTV, like, she mostly a black man,
right?
And they bleep out black, so I'm like, well, damn, we should bleep that out. I mean, it's,
right?
Well, what's going on? How did you even know that was in there? I mean, or you know what I'm saying? Or what made you even want to pull that out?
Right.
So I mean, we got away with a lot of shit. You know what I mean? We still here for 25 years with survival kit, and who knows? Once they start digging through that, they might pull something out of that that don't fit their, you know, their
I want to ask you about Survival Kit, but I also want to ask you about when you guys took a break from each other and you guys pursued solo careers, what were the biggest lessons for each of you that you've learned that kind of helped when you guys came back together, helped you with your writing and your performing as a group?
Man, my perspective on that is I know that we all were able, and I know that we all were ambitious and adventurous in our own right, and we made that aspiration, you know, apparent with what we were able to accomplish, you know, collectively. And then when we went out on our individual endeavors, I mean, like speaking for myself, you know, I knew that instinctively or intuitively that was kind of more that I could actually do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew I had an endowment of talent. I had a wealth of knowledge just pop culture and so on and so forth. So I knew that there was more that I could do. I didn't necessarily know exactly how it was going to come about or how it would happen. I just felt like there was something out there for me. But the thing of it is I knew wherever I was going, I wasn't going to stay forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always knew that. I mean, like, you know, you go touch it, you know, you plant your flag. I mean, like, you know, and you come on back home. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the whole mission statement, you know, is about conquest. You know what I mean? Like, so it's about territory. The same way, you know, art is about intellectual property. Art and commerce is intellectual property. It's your thought becoming a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that intellectual property becoming real estate. I mean, like, literally the ground underneath your feet is what we stand on. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, it's about timing and time travel. So, I mean, like, you know, we traveled and defied, you know, things that divided, you know, one genre from another. We defied those things, defied laws of physics, you know what I mean? Flew high, flew far and wide, you know what I mean? And turned that spaceship around and came on back home to home base. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I felt like, you know, that's what feels good to me, to be home and to know, you know, this is what it was always about. Even if I didn't understand it then, I'm saying, like, which I did though. I mean, like, but you know, even if the preoccupation was prolonged because of a large supply and demand, like I could have went and did what I did and came on back sooner than I came back. You know what I mean? Like, but the demand got so big. I mean, like, I had to work it. You know what I'm saying? Like, for what it was worth. And get what I could get out of it, you know what I mean? And I felt very comfortable in it because I had finally felt like I was succeeding at being myself. I'm like, if people want me to be myself, then shit, I can do that the rest of my life.
And a Gip or Timo or Cujo, you guys?
But the cap that off, I'm not whole. I'm not whole. Even though I was doing me, I'm not whole without what we do together. And the audience, even if you lose sight of that, the audience will remind you of that. Hey, Lo, we like everything you're doing, man. Like the outfits, all that shit. We love it. But where that Goody Mob at?
Right.
I hear that. I heard that all the whole time. Trust me.
And Timo, Akujo, Gip, anything you guys kind of took away from your solo experiences?
Oh, man. Really, I'm still working on mine right now. I just put a brand new solo album out, you know what I'm saying? The South Sand, so right here in your face with it, you know what I mean? So I'm seriously still with everything, you know, as long as we, you know, using positive energy out here, pushing the movement forward, that's all it's all about to me. I'm happy, man. And we all knew that one day we were going to want to do our own thing. And ain't nothing wrong with a man want to do his own thing. That's why we all men at the end of the day. We all fathers at the end of the day. And we thankful that we still got purpose right now. We still here in your face with it. Holla.
Ooh. Holla.
I mean, I think what you guys talk about is you make sure that you said you had – I think CeeLo said once, he said you had disagreements as artists, but as, you know, as people, you were always kind of always stayed close and always on the same page.
Yeah.
And we see that in the Survival Kit. I think when you guys approached this album and, you know, Take It Back, it's what was the initial conversation? And I think the first verse of the first track written for this album.
First verse. That was the first song we did for this album was Survival Kit.
Survival Kit. Yeah.
Yeah. Lo laid the first verse. He sent it to the studio. We went to the studio the first day. Lo came in. He already had his verse done. So we listened to what Lo put down, and then we went to work. You know, Joe came in, T came in, and Gibby put that caboose on it. And after that night, we had a direction.
Dope. That's my last question, gentlemen. CeeLo once said that Goody Mob's debut album, you guys saw yourself as kind of the civil rights leaders for Southern hip hop. You know, whatever, almost 30 years later with Survival Kit, where do you guys see yourself now in 2020?
I see ourselves up there with the greats, man. Mm. With the folks that just, the people y'all say y'all the top 20, I see us up in there somewhere.
Hey, man, on top of the game, it's simple to play. Hey, man. I think we the best, like Gibbs said, we the best in this thing, man. If you put all us together and you look at everybody's talent, man, everybody write their own music, we produce our own beats, we chop these samples up, we work, we get ideas, we create our own out of it. So we all originators, man. We all love to try to dare to challenge ourselves to be greater than we did, than what we did last. And I think that's happening, man. I think that's happening. We like fine wine getting better with time.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.